How long are you going to be sad? How long are you going to live in regret? Boy, regret is a power drainer. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I would have. Well, if you didn't, you didn't. And if you did, you did. And so this is today. And let's be now people, because faith is now. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. Today, I have faith that God can take care of yesterday. And today, I have faith that God will take care of me tomorrow. I want to catapult you out of any kind of doldrums or deadness or anything that's holding you back, because you have the power of God in you, and it's never too late to begin again. No matter what has happened to you in your life, no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, it is never too late to press into a new beginning. Never too late. But your future has no room for your past. So today is the day where mourning is going to end. And we're going to get plan B from God, which always stands for better. So you may think, well, I messed up God's plan for my life. I messed up plan A. Well, you know, the truth is even if you did, it doesn't matter all that much, because if you go to God and say, I know that you can redeem me, his plan B can be better than plan A ever would have been. First Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now, you know, Samuel was the one that had anointed Saul to be king, and he had worked with him. And, you know, when you put a lot of time into something and a lot of prayer time into something, it's really hard if it just fails and flops. Well, Saul just did not turn out to be what he could have been. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't Samuel's fault. It wasn't the people's fault. It was Saul's fault. And really what happened was he got all full of himself. He got all proud and got a haughty attitude. And God ended up having to take him down from that high place that he had allowed him to be in. Now, Samuel was mourning. He was sad because of what had happened to Saul. And so the Lord spoke to Samuel, to the prophet Samuel. He said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? I've rejected him. That's over. Now, he says, fill your horn with oil, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king from among his sons. Let me tell you something. God is never without a plan. Do you hear me? Even though there's so many problems in our nation right now, I believe God's got a plan. If he can just get somebody to stand up and take some action, or several somebodies, God's got a plan. And God's got a plan for your life, and a plan for your family, and a plan for your employment, and a plan for your health. And all you have to do is not get this attitude, well, it's just too late. I've messed my life up, and it's just too late. I guess I'll just sit around here and have a bad attitude until Jesus comes to get me. No, we can't do that. How long are you going to mourn? You know, under the Old Testament law, and I find this very interesting, they were only allowed to mourn for 30 days. It was a law that when someone died, they could only mourn for 30 days. Now, I know that sounds harsh, and I'm not suggesting that if you've lost someone that you love, that you should just get over it in 30 days. But I think there's a principle here. How long did I mourn because I was abused in my childhood, and my parents really didn't and never would love me? Not what real love is, anyway. How long did I mourn over that, and how many years did I waste? Well, a lot more than I want you to waste if something like that has happened to you. And I want you to learn from my experience that it does absolutely no good to mourn over something that you cannot do anything about. Amen. How long are you going to mourn? How long are you going to be sad? How long are you going to live in regret? Boy, regret is a power drainer. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I would have. Well, if you didn't, you didn't. And if you did, you did. And so this is today. And let's be now people, because faith is now. Faith is not yesterday. Faith is not tomorrow. Today, I have faith that God can take care of yesterday. And today, I have faith that God will take care of me tomorrow. Why did Jesus call himself the great I am? And why did God say, I am that I am? Because he wasn't the great I was. Nor did he call himself the great I will be. There's a message here. He said, I am. I am. Why are you frightened and distressed? I am. I am here right now for you in your life, right where you are at today. And everything can change in a moment if you start heading in the right direction. I'm not saying that all your problems will be gone the minute you walk out of this building, but at least you can start heading in the right direction by having a brand new attitude toward life. Letting go of what lies behind. We've all got a past, but thank God we've all got a future. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 34, 7 and 8. Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor was his natural force abated. I love that. When Moses was 120 years old and he died, he was still just as strong as a young man. And the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, you know, you can read that and just get nothing out of it. But to me, this says a whole lot more, because they obviously already knew that Moses was dead. They'd already been mourning Moses 30 days. So why now did God show up and say again, Moses is dead? Because there was a deeper message there. He was saying, now it's time to let go of that and press on. Come on. If you had a dream that's been shattered, it's time to let go of that and get a new dream. If you had a failure in the past, you're not a failure because you did something that didn't work. There's always an opportunity for a new beginning. You can always begin again. Amen? Moses is dead. So now arise, I love that, get up and get going. So arise and take his place and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving them. Verse 3 is so important to our lives. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you as I promised Moses. You see, God was saying, I've already got the path all laid out. Everything's already arranged. God's already done everything that he needs to do. Now he says, you get up, forget the past, and start moving forward. And every place on which the sole of your foot treads, that have I already given you. It's yours, but you got to go take it. Come on, you ought to be more excited than that. He didn't say, go get in the recliner and I'll deliver it to your front door. And that's the way we act sometimes. I'm going to go get in the recliner and lean back here. And, you know, God's just, I just need a miracle, God. I need a miracle. God says, get up. Forget the past. And every place on which the sole of your foot treads. Come on, you need to do some things for yourself in your life. There's some things that only you can do. And if you won't do them, nothing is ever going to work in your life. Let me tell you a sad but an important story. It's been on my heart this weekend to share this with you, although I have shared it before. But there's somebody here this morning that needs to hear this. I had one sibling, a brother. I say had because just a few years back, three, 4 years ago, he He died in an abandoned building out in California, homeless, addicted to drugs and alcohol and prescription medicine. You say, Joyce, how in the world could your brother be in that situation? Because no matter what we did for him, he wouldn't do anything for himself. You cannot fix somebody that doesn't want to be fixed. But you can ruin your life trying. My brother went into the Marines when he was 17. Although he was not sexually abused, he was abused in that he never really had a father, and any example my father was to him was a bad example. And he went into the Marines when he was 17. My parents signed the papers, and while he was in Vietnam, he got introduced to drugs, and he continued to have a problem with that all of his life. You say, well, poor guy, maybe he couldn't have helped it. Well, you know, my brother was always irresponsible. He always wanted somebody else to do it for him. He had this mentality that somebody else should do it for him. That was one of the reasons why the Israelites stayed in the wilderness so long. They had that same attitude, somebody do it for me. Every time they would get in trouble because they made bad choices, they would blame Moses and even blame God and want to run back to Egypt. That's why what I shared last night is so important. Even when you're hurting, you got to keep going forward. You got to keep doing what you would do if you weren't hurting. And so my brother was just the nicest guy. I mean, you would have loved him to pieces. I mean, he had the personality, he had the charisma, he had the looks. I mean, he was a good-looking guy and so much fun and just very encouraging and just had so much potential. And I don't think there's anything that's any sadder than somebody with so much potential doing nothing, absolutely nothing, zippo zero with their life. It's terrible. It's tragic. Do not waste your life. Don't waste your life. And please don't have an attitude that somebody else needs to do for you what you're supposed to be doing for yourself. We all have to be responsible for ourselves. We have to own our own problems. We have to own our own behavior and not blame. Well, I wouldn't act this way if you didn't. No, no. If a person acts bad, it's because there's something going on in them that needs to be fixed. And until we take responsibility for that, nothing's ever going to change. Anyway, my brother came home from the war, and it did have a negative effect on him, no doubt about that. He got married, didn't stay married too long, had a child, wouldn't support the child. He was one of these dads that wouldn't pay child support, and he just disappeared and lived out in Arizona for many, many, many years. And after a lot of years, we got a phone call one day that he was desperate for help, wanted to change his life, wanted to come home. Would we come and get him? So we sent him an airline ticket. He came home. We met him at the airport. Some of his teeth were missing. His health was so bad, he just looked pitiful and pathetic. My only brother, I loved him. I didn't have the privilege of being around any family, so I was glad to see him. And we brought him into our home, and David lived with us for over 2 years. And as long as he lived with us and I was watching him and telling him step by step what to do, he did good. He got off the drugs. He got off the alcohol. We eventually let him work at the ministry. He traveled with us. I mean, he had so much opportunity, it was disgusting. I mean, he could have been in a high position in this ministry and traveled all over the world if he would have stuck it out. But some different things happened, and one of the things that happened was as soon as he got back in the Social Security system, the government came after him for this back child support, which was about $60,000. Well, he felt defeated by that and like he could never crawl out from under it. We had a lawyer help him, and they got it reduced down to a lower amount, although it was still, you know, a fair amount of money. And they started garnishing his wages, and he didn't want to be responsible. He should have manned up and said, I deserve this. I didn't do what I should have done, And now I need to pay this, and I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to pay it. And if he would have had that attitude, Dave and I already had plans to help him. But we waited to see what he would do. I wonder how often God is not helping somebody yet because he's waiting to see what they will do. Now, come on, I think this is a word for somebody in the place today. You don't understand why God's not moving yet. You're waiting on God, but maybe God's waiting on you. Amen. Will you be responsible and say, I made this mess. It's right for me to spend some years cleaning it up. I spent more money than I had. Now I've got a lot of debt. That means I'm going to have to live very lean and maybe work extra hard for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But I deserve it. God, I'm going to do what I can do and trust you to do what I can't do. You begin to be responsible. Then you start getting the miracle working power of God in your life. So after about 2 years, I felt very strongly, and Dave agreed, that it was time for my brother to get out on his own. I didn't need to be raising a 50-year-old man. And so we helped him get an apartment, signed for an apartment. We got him a nice truck. He had a good job. We helped him get some furniture, everything. I mean, I don't think it was 3 weeks. And he started going right back to his old lifestyle. Well, long story short, he ended up leaving town again, was gone a few more years, and the only time he would call me was when he was in trouble. Well, sis, can you help me? I'm in jail. No, David, I'm not getting you out of jail. Well, you're a minister. You're helping everybody else. Well, you know. Come on, you can't let somebody put a guilt trip on you because they're not doing what they should be doing. And then one of the women he was living with actually called. She got a hold of my son-in-law, and she wanted me to set up a bank account for her and my brother because they were in this terrible condition, and they needed help. And, you know, she calls herself a minister, and you know what? You better know who you are in Christ because the devil will try to heap a load of guilt on you that you don't need to take. You need to be responsible for you, but you need to let everybody else be responsible for them. I'm all for helping people, but I'm not for helping people who just want to use me and won't help themselves. Now, I don't know why in particular I felt so strongly about bringing this up today, but maybe it's just a word in due season for somebody. Amen. We don't help people by continuing to cripple them. Are you there? Real love sometimes has to be a little bit tough. So he finally called again, I need help. We got him in a treatment program, sent somebody to get him. We got him in a treatment program, actually the Los Angeles Dream Center, where I know the Barnetts out there, and I knew they would take good care of them. And they had even told me on the side, if he does well, we'll even give him a job here. And I was like, great, another opportunity. He was there 30 days. Got off the drugs, off the alcohol. He was cleaned up. They had put him to work as a plumber because he had plumbing skills. He went to the guy that was the head of the program, and he said, you know what? You guys are great. I really appreciate your help, but this is just not for me. I'd like you to just take me to the VA center and drop me off. Okay, you know why he wanted to be dropped off there? Because he wanted to get some pain medicine. And sadly, he died in an abandoned building. How terrible. How terrible. He'd actually been there so long that they couldn't even recognize him by his remains. But you know how they recognized him? He had his wallet, and in his wallet, he still had his badge from Joyce Meyer Ministries when he worked for us. You know why I think he had that? I think that was one thing in his life that he was proud of. That was a time in his life. That was a time in his life when he had some self-respect. We cannot respect ourselves if we expect everybody else to do for us what we should be doing. I'm telling you right now, it is not too late for you. Please listen to me. It is not too late for you. You can shake off that depression. You can shake off that discouragement. You can shake off what everybody has said and what everybody has done. You can find healing. There is redemption. There's a new beginning for you in Jesus Christ. It is not too late for you. Don't you believe that lie that it's too late for you. Refuse to be trapped in the past. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I've already attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. This has become one of my favorite scriptures. Not just the fact that Paul said, I press on, but what he said he was pressing on to obtain. He said, I am determined to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus died to take hold of me. In other words, he's saying, Christ died for me to have a quality of life that is absolutely, astoundingly amazing, and I am going to press in and press on until I have that life that he died for me to have. Come on, is anybody home in the building today? You can have better health. You can have self-respect. You can have your financial needs met. You can have relationships. No matter how bad you've been hurt in the past, you can love again. Don't isolate yourself and cut yourself off from everybody just because you're afraid of being hurt. You're hurting yourself if you're living an isolated, lonely life and living in fear of ever being involved with anybody. And I can probably go ahead and tell you, if you get involved with people, you will get hurt. Let's just be upfront and truthful about it. But you'll recover because the healer lives on the inside of you. Verse 13, I do not consider, brethren, that I've captured and made it my own. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. Do you feel his passion? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. It was almost like he's saying the past is after me, trying to hold me back. But I'm straining. I'm pressing. It's my one passion, my one goal. I'm going to have the life that Jesus wants me to have. And to be honest, that is my passion as a preacher. We have a lot of people saved under our ministry, but I am not mainly an evangelist. I am a teacher of the word, and I have a particular niche in my teaching. From the time that God has called me to teach the word, I've had this passion to teach believers how to stand up and be the people that God wants them to be and have what God wants them to have. I absolutely cannot stand wimpy, whiny, beat up, beat down believers. That is not what Jesus died for us to have. Yes, we have problems. I have had problems. I have had disappointments in life. But you know what? By and large, it's not what happens to us that makes us unhappy. It's our attitude toward what happens to us that makes us unhappy. And if I can just get you to walk out of the darkness and turn the lights on before you leave here, and realize that Jesus has already paid a tremendous price for you to have an astoundingly wonderful life. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. And you know what? This message is not just for an arena full of people here in America. This is for you out in the middle of a village somewhere in Africa and in India and in places in Asia and places in Eastern Europe and people, the devil wants you to think that you can never have any kind of a life, barely get by, that's all you can hope for. No, you can have a wonderful, amazing, awesome life just like anybody else. It's never too late to get a fresh attitude and begin again. Never too late to begin again. Well, what happens if you had a plan and it didn't work out? Well, you know, man's mind plans his way, but God directs his steps. You know, I think we need to start trusting God that when things don't work out for us, instead of being bitter and having a bad attitude, maybe God's saving us from something that we don't even realize. Here's three little things I wrote in this book. If you've tried your best to restore a friendship, but that friend insisted on ending the relationship, God may be leading by closing a door. God may be leading by closing a door. That may have been a friendship that would have caused you damage down the road. Let me tell you something. I've learned not to try to force my way into relationships and look at this group or that group and think I want to be part of that. Let me tell you what I pray all the time. God, you hook me up with whoever you want me to be hooked up with. If you want me to get together with that person, yay, yay. If not, I couldn't care less, because I know that if God doesn't direct my path, I am only going to end up in trouble. Don't spend your life trying to get in with people you think are important, because that's going to make you important. If you did the work required and tried to get into a certain college, but they rejected your application, God may be protecting you from an event that would have harmed you. If you worked as hard as you could, but the job laid you off, God may be protecting you from a career that would have never fulfilled you nor have provided enough for your family. If you get stuck in a traffic jam and you're in a hurry and now you're all mad because you're not where you want to be, God may be protecting you from an accident down the road that could have taken your life. Instead of being frustrated, Dave and I have just learned to say, our times are in his hands. Our times are in his hands. Don't spend your life being bitter because things didn't work out the way you wanted them to, and just simply say, maybe God's got a plan that I don't know about, and I'm going to trust him. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? All right, now, I want to talk to you about getting a new wineskin. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 16. And no one puts a piece of cloth that has not been shrunk on an old garment, for such a patch tears away from the garment and a worse rent is made. Neither is new wine put in old wineskins, for if it is, the skin bursts and are torn in pieces, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are ruined. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. I think that the new wine, as far as the way we want to talk about it today, is a new, powerful life, a new beginning. And that old wineskin is an old attitude. It's old ways of thinking. Old ways of thinking about yourself. We need to think about ourselves the way God sees us, not the way the world sees us. Did you hear me? You need to see yourself the way God sees you, not the way people have seen you and talked to you. Guess I better say it again. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. That's why I need to stand up here over and over and say, you are amazing, amazing. You are absolutely jaw-dropping amazing. Man, just the way our bodies are made. If I just did a health lesson, which I'm not going to do, you would be flabbergasted just to know everything that goes on in your body every day just to keep you breathing. And God's in control of all of it. He's created you. He's got his hand on you. He's maintaining you. You have gifts and talents and abilities. You've got a mind. You've got energy. You've got creativity in you. Why in the world would you want to just go sit around somewhere and go? Yeah, it must be nice to be Joyce. Come on. Don't spend your life with some old attitude based on a bunch of old stuff that disappointed you in life. How many of you have had disappointments in life? How about some pretty major disappointments? How many have had some real hurts in your life? I mean, some real pain in your life. Well, you know what? It's time to stop mourning that. It's a new day. It's time to move on. Right now, today, before you leave this place, we are going to become new wineskins so we can have the new wine of the Holy Spirit poured out in us. It's a new day. It is a new day. If you've been disappointed, then my word to you today is get reappointed. A new attitude. Wow. Changes everything. You even have to have a new attitude about God. You know, we've even seen God in a wrong way for so many years. God's not an angry God that's mad at everybody and just waiting to beat everybody over the head for every mistake they make. God is a God of love and mercy and a God of second chances and do-overs and new beginnings. And yes, He deals with us. If we sin, God deals with us. We're not just going to get by with sin. God is going to correct us and deal with us and chastise us. And He wouldn't love us if He didn't. But I'll tell you one thing. God is not going to give up on you. I said God is not going to give up on you. He is not going to give up on you. God is not only not finished with you, He has not even really gotten started yet. Amen. You got to be careful about those attitudes. You know, I went through a period of time where I had to fight that I'm getting old attitude. You know, wake up out in a hotel somewhere, been on the road 38 years of my life, and the lights are dingy and the curtains hanging crooked and there's stains on the carpet, and you're like, I don't know, God, if I can. And you know what? I don't let that go, but just like a half a sentence now. Nope. Nope. I'm so blessed to be doing what I'm doing. I'm so grateful to be helping God's people. Come on. But I'm not going to tell you that I don't ever feel it. I'm just saying I ain't giving into it. You know why? Because I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish my race. It doesn't take any special talent to start. But it takes a real man or woman of God and a lot of Holy Ghost power to finish your race and be all that God wants you to be. And I'm determined to try to help you as much as I could possibly can. All right, John chapter 11, the resurrection of Lazarus. First of all, I love verse 40, so I'm just going to start there. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God? Now that's the first new attitude you need to get, is an attitude of believing instead of doubting. And every day just get up and say, I believe that something good is going to happen to me today. Could you just form a habit? I believe that something good is going to happen to me today. Let's just try it. I believe that something good is going to happen to me today. And I can just hear some old sourpuss. Yeah, well, I tried that yesterday. Nothing good happened. Well, do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And do it until you wear the devil out and he gets so tired of hearing your positive attitude that he won't even visit your town anymore. Jesus went to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. And out he walked. But we usually don't hear the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is what I want to talk to you about today, because Jesus said a second thing that I think is very important. He said, take off your grave clothes. Now that's where we're at today. We're trying to get off the grave clothes. Because you are born again, you're believers, so you've already had the resurrection. You've already got the new birth. But if you've kept on your grave clothes, you're still never going to have the life that God wants you to have. What are the grave clothes? Old attitudes, old ways of thinking, old ways of talking, old ways of acting. Come on, why don't you have a new beginning in the way you talk today? How about if you just say, I am going to stop talking about things the way they are, and I'm going to talk about them the way they can be according to the Word of God. Ask God to help you not say anything negative, no matter how bad you're hurting right now. Don't give the devil an open door and an opportunity to make it worse. Just keep saying, God, I trust you. Something good is going to happen to me. It is not too late for me. I like my message today. You know, the old may be familiar, but it's also stale. And there's no anointing on stuff that God's done with. There was no anointing left on Saul anymore. But God had a new plan, a fresh anointing for a fresh plan for a fresh king. There's nothing worse than trying to keep doing something that there's no life in. As the saying goes, if the horse has been dead 10 years, it's time to dismount. Yes, wow, wow, wow. His mercy is new every morning. Every 24 hours we get a chance for a new beginning. You know, I think just the way that God has arranged the sunset and the sunrise is a daily message to us. I really do. I honestly do. I believe that the way He has divided up the day in 24-hour periods, and let's just say if you're doing it right, you're awake about 16 and you sleep 8, which I know for some of you would just be shocking, but... And you know, no matter how bad things are at bedtime, if you can get a good night's sleep, they do look a little bit better the next morning. And then God says His mercy is new every morning. So really, every morning is a brand new start. Don't lay in the bed in the morning and think about all the mistakes you made yesterday. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to ruin today before you ever get out of bed. Thinking about all the things that you did wrong yesterday. The devil's a liar. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:18. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. I tell you what, I can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do in my life in the next few years. Woo! I bet it's going to get better and better and better and better. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it, which means see it? Can you see it with the eye of faith? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and give you rivers in the desert. What's God saying? And by the way, it doesn't matter how bad your circumstances are. I still do a new thing. And let me tell you something. When you've had a great loss in your life, of course it hurts. Of course there's pain. There's that feeling of just, like you just feel like your guts are caving in. I understand that. I know that. I have occasions where I feel the same way. But that is just a feeling. It is just an emotion. Because anytime you put a lot of yourself into something and it doesn't work, of course it's going to be disappointing. But you know, you really only have two choices. You can live your life disappointed, or you can have a new beginning. That's our only option. Live your life disappointed, keep living in the past, and letting the devil make you miserable, or shake that stuff off yourself and say, God is alive and well on planet Earth. He's got a good plan for me. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. And I'm going to begin again. I'm going to have a fresh attitude and a fresh start. I'm getting off my grave clothes. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Now, you know, we all come up short in some area. Maybe you don't learn as easily as other people do, or maybe you don't learn the same way they do. We have one son, our youngest son, who is absolutely brilliant, but he was a nightmare in school. Oh. And you know what? The thing was he didn't learn the normal way. And back then, they really hadn't figured that out yet, and so they had one method of education for everybody, and he learned more by hands-on and doing. He's more like me, more of a gut person, where he just, like, he knows what to do, he feels it, and he goes. Well, now he's CEO of our ministry and is over all this media and over all the operations of the ministry. Our oldest son, David, is the CEO of all the outreach around the world, and between these two boys, I mean, wow. They are pumping out a lot of work and making it possible for Dad and I to actually have a little bit of a life. Amen? Just give it a chance. Just because you got a shortage in life, that doesn't mean that God can't make up for it if you learn how to lean on Him. Amen? You know, I say this, and I don't mean it in any way of putting myself down. I know better than to do that. But I'll tell you the truth, honestly. I mean, I'm just really very ordinary. I mean, well, I mean, really, I don't. I mean, I've got a normal amount of intelligence, but I'm not like extremely brilliant or anything. You know, the thing is if you just make room in your life for God, and you will take those steps of faith, and you won't quit, and you won't give up, and you won't be defeated, you will end up, God will do amazing things through you, and it doesn't matter what you don't have if you do have God. Do you understand that? And it, you know, I don't mind telling you what I can't do, because I have God. And so he is filling up my weaknesses. He keeps me strong. He keeps me young. He keeps me able. He keeps me happy. And if we will just get over ourselves. Well, look at me. Well, don't look at you. Look at him. All right, I gotta end talking for a minute about Zacchaeus. I'm sorry if you've heard me talk about him, but I just love him. Luke chapter 19, you can read it for yourself. Jesus was coming to town and Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but he was too short to see over the other people. Short little Zacchaeus. I love it. We're all short in some way. Man, he could have just went behind a tree somewhere and had a fit. Well, I'm short and I can't see Jesus, and everybody else is going to get to see Jesus, and now I'm just short, and why couldn't I have been tall? Must be nice for all you tall people. Come on, you understand what I'm talking about. Yeah. But no, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, so he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up in a tree. Woo-hoo. Have we got any tree climbers here today? Now you understand there's a spiritual connotation here. Okay, so you got a disadvantage somewhere. Well, just try a little harder. Maybe you do have to try a little harder in school. Maybe you do have to try a little harder to keep your life organized. Everybody's got something. Stop being concerned about what you can't do and what you don't do well, and start maximizing on what you can do and let God take care of the rest of it. Now listen, I'm coming to the end of this. Zacchaeus was a short little guy, but he wanted something and he said, I'm going to get it. And he ran ahead and he climbed a tree. And if you read the story, this is what happened. As Jesus was passing by, he noticed Zacchaeus in the tree. Now, why in the world would Jesus look up at a tree? Because something in Zacchaeus' spirit touched something in Jesus' spirit, and there was a connection. Because God loves those determined, I refuse to quit people. It doesn't matter if I got a shortage, I'm going to press in and be all that God wants me to be. And do you know what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? He said, come on down from there, I'm going to go to your house for dinner. Wow. And he was a tax collector, an especially wicked sinner, and a thief. But Jesus saw something in him he could work with. And I believe that God sees something in you today that he can work with. You may have to climb a few trees in life, but you can have a new beginning. It's never too late to begin again. Come on, get up on your feet and give God a big shout. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what comes against you, no matter what challenges you have, you can do whatever you need to do in life through Christ who strengthens you. God never promises us a trouble-free life, but he does promise to never leave us nor forsake us. I don't have to live in fear. God is on my side, and I get to give God my problems, cast my care, go on and enjoy my life while God works on my situation. Don't be afraid of things. Learn to take your life one day at a time. Trust God. The Bible says that God chose you on purpose because he loved you. Every day of your life was written in his book before you ever breathed one of them. He knows every decision you're going to make before you make it. And he still says, I love you unconditionally. I will never give up on you. I will work with you and hold you and watch over you. God loves you. Let me tell you something. When you're in the lowest pit, God can have his eye on you. And God's arm is not too short that he can't reach down in your pit and lift you out. What you're going through now is a moment in time. It's not going to last forever. This too shall pass. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care how long it takes. Don't you dare give up in the silent years. Suddenly, God is going to break through. But I know that I know that I know that the Word of God is true and that he changes lives and he gives you a life worth living. And no matter what anybody has done to us or said to us, no matter what has happened to us, you are not hopeless and you are not helpless because there is a God that is alive who loves you, personally loves you and wants to help you. And so really when you get right down to it, it's just all about Jesus.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.